It's a weekend, a special weekend edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Start your car shopping search at edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, the only luxury dealership in Brandon. And we'll talk more about the great sponsors of Ira a little bit later. But the man of the hour is Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. And Ira, every day, new people listen to this podcast. So, you know, I want to let everybody know if you're just catching the podcast for the first time, you can go to iTunes and you don't have to subscribe if you don't want to. And you can look at all the old podcast episodes and pull one up, pull a couple up, listen to various topics and the fun that we have here.
Normal days are Tuesday, Thursday, right, Steve?
Normally the podcast pops Tuesday and Thursday morning. This is a special edition and that could always change, but there's always two a week from Mr. Kaufman. And podbean.com, you can catch it there. Great place to listen to the podcast very well. We're in full stereo. We sound good. And it's all about you, Ira.
This is a special weekend edition, Steve. Weekend
yep.
edition. Don't whet these people's appetites. They're going to want it more on the weekends now. It's our version of March Madness. You know, Steve, it's amazing because in so many ways, and you've told me this many times, interest in the Bucks peaks in March. As opposed to opening day in September. It's quite remarkable. The NFL offseason, Lee, used to be a sleepy, dreary time. The draft was no big deal till Mel Kiper and his hair showed up.
I'll say Joe Bushman, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know that. And free agency, of course, has been around, you know, for 25 years. And now March is the time. It continues, Lee. People are still talking about it.
Well, the NFL got smart. It was like baseball figured out decades ago, you want to have something every month, keep people engaged. And football figured out, starting with the combine and the free agency period. And I refer to the combine, you know, I was up in Indianapolis 2 weeks ago. I refer to that as NFL's winter festival. Because everybody who's anybody in the NFL is there. And most of them speak, with the exception of Tomlin. He never speaks. Periodically, Belichick will speak, but not often. Other than that, everybody's available.
Was there a big fan element this year, Lee?
Yes, there was. It was very, very interesting. And fans now, used to be, the combine, you could have had in a penitentiary because they didn't want anybody, any attention. I mean, it was just locked down. Well, now they have fans in there. And where they had the media center set up, not to bore people too much here, but where they had the media center set up, right next to that, it looked like a high school wrestling tournament for the bench press, which I don't give a damn about, but a lot of people do. And they had bleachers set up and everything. It was very much like a high school wrestling tournament because you'd hear the fans hollering and screaming, and they had a PA system encouraging the fans to be loud. Well, you know when you're going to let fans in, fans are going to be fans. That's a good thing. And I guess some uptight, constipated NFL personnel people got bent because somebody, I can't remember who, a guy from Ole Miss was bench pressing, and people were heckling him. And how dare they? Hey, Buttercup, you know, buckle up here. Number one, if you are intimidated by a couple hundred fans bench pressing, what's going to happen when you're on the 50-yard line in an NFL stadium? Forget the fact that Ole Miss plays before hundreds of thousands of people on Saturdays. Like, what are you talking about?
And Steve, you know this, Steve. The old school personnel people, NFL executives, Steve, They're not in the forefront of this vanguard of getting more fans involved. They don't want it. They want to keep it as their own little personal fiefdom. But the league,
fiefdom.
Steve, the league. This is the way the league's going. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the media day for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Lee, you were there. It's not going to stop.
No,
Steve. They want more and more fan involvement. And you know, the old time. Football people are going to get trampled.
Well, you know what? Those wonderful old-time football people, Dirk Cutter being one of them, our head coach, he likes his paycheck. He likes whatever he's making, that $4 or $5 million. It doesn't happen without 24/7 fan lunacy and all the money that NFL.com and NFL
and
Network
on television,
NFL Network going 24/7 and all the games and all the madness. It brings in. So screw them.
So you live with it, Steve.
Screw them. It should go longer. I mean, I hope at least in the next couple of years the NFL gets it right and gets a minor league going. Because if they do it right and they need that developmental league, especially with the limited practice time, people will be glued to that stuff, Ira. They will be glued. There will be a percentage of Bucks fans who are going to be screaming about how
This wide receiver has got, you know, 4.42 speed.
Exactly. How Josh Huff had 7 catches in the developmental league, and we got to, what are they thinking? You know, he was catching balls from Josh Freeman. We got to get him in here. What would he do with Jameis? That's how, I mean.
Josh Freeman. We got a Josh Freeman.
Well, I'll reinforce what Steve is saying. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the documentary. I saw part of it. I didn't see the full one. This is the XFL on ESPN. And by the way,
You know what? A lot of Vince McMahon on there.
I rag on ESPN constantly, but when they do good stuff, I'm very fair. They do good stuff. This is one of those elements. 90% of their shtick is horrible. This is excellent.
That 30 for 30 stuff is usually good.
Yes, and yes. In that XFL, you know, obviously the XFL was Dick Ebersol, NBC executive,
yes.
And McMahon hinted that, you know, this could return. Well, NBC Sports Network has how many hours to fill? I guarantee you, like Steve was saying, they're going to get more eyeballs off of NFL minor league than they will alpine skiing. I'm sorry.
And, you know, this no fun league, Steve, this moniker, how do you like that one there, Lee?
Well, I like this moniker
that the NFL wants no part of, but it's growing, you know, with the continued rules about safety, which we all understand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But a new league could take advantage of that, Steve, and players want a paycheck. And
they want to get paid.
You know, even if they know about the risks of concussion, Steve, they're willing to take that risk. And it would be more physical, more violent, more collisions. That might appeal to a segment of the population.
I don't think the NFL would support anything that was more violent, or they wouldn't put their name on anything like that.
I didn't say the NFL would put their name on it.
I understand, but I think if the NFL does it right, it does have their name on it, because what would make it popular is the driving force on NFL Network, and so they don't have to replay something. They can show
top 10 unless for the 80th time.
NFL Network in May, showing Saturday football on NFL Network. It would be fantastic, but we've been dancing around. Bucks fans are here for this podcast. They're here for Ira Kaufman. And where we left off, we didn't touch on the other day, Ira, is what you asked, which was, what do the Bucks pigeonhole themselves into in the draft? Now, maybe they've made a signing, and this is Sunday's podcast. We're recording it earlier, but I doubt it. The draft. Where have the Bucks pigeonholed themselves? Let's hear what you think. Where have they forced themselves by their moves, non-moves, and free agency?
Well, clearly, Steve, I don't think there's any debate among the three of us here. Notwithstanding re-signing Jacquizz Rodgers, I understand. and your love for Peyton Barber, Steve, continues undiminished.
Stop it.
I'm going to go on record saying we're not going to see Doug Martin in September.
Interesting.
I don't know how you guys feel about that. I'm pretty strong on that. So it's got to be the running back position, Steve. It just has to be. Now, Lee, having said that, I don't mean in any way to suggest that the Bucks have to take a running back in round one. No. I don't think that's true.
I agree.
The history of this league, Steve, shows that running backs can be had in further rounds. But I'll say this, Lee. If Fournette, Cook, or I'll throw McCaffrey in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those three are sitting there at 19, I think the Bucks have to seriously think about taking it.
I agree with the top shelf running backs. There is an interesting dynamic going on here. You know, talking to Cutter and Light, Cutter kept saying over and over, he made it clear that, you know, there's this theory out there in Indianapolis, I should say. Cutter kept saying, you know, there's this theory out there that you can get a top shelf running back in the fifth round. Well, I don't buy that. And he went into detail. So he made it clear that, you know, if one of those guys that you're suggesting are there, Light should get him. And Light made it clear that this is a very, very deep running back class. So it's going to be interesting. You know, let's say if Dalvin Cook's there at 15, you think Cutter's going to be freaking out and scream at Light, trade up, trade up, trade up?
I think he might, and I think Jason Light will say, calm down, we're not doing that. I know Light doesn't mind shaking up the draft, Steve. It's his history. Certainly, we don't have to go back further than last year to know that he doesn't mind taking a gamble and doing something unorthodox. Steve, I'm not moving up to take a running back, Steve. If he's there at 19, I look at him.
It's all about the cost to move up. I don't think you can say that, but it will cost a lot to move up more than one slot or two slots. Will cost something significant. I've said this before, and this is going to be the great debate for the next 5 weeks, is what the Bucks do at running back. That's the great debate here,
yes,
because it's so easy to ignore all the other running backs that are in this draft class. One guy I wrote about, and I'm not endorsing him, but the Samaje Perine Okay, he's the all-time leading rusher at Oklahoma, who had Billy Sims and Joe Mixon. This is a guy who is a bruising runner. I know we don't like the underwear Olympics at the combine, but this guy outbenched, just to speak to his physical ability, he was better on the bench press than every running back and all but four offensive linemen. All but four offensive linemen. This guy, he's known for being a pounding, strong runner. He was splitting carries with Mixon. Okay, Mixon's a superstar, but his college coach had him sharing carries. You go back to that bowl game, they're an even split, Mixon and Perrine, and if Mixon is this all-world guy, why couldn't he beat out this guy who's probably going to go in the third round? Now, again, I'm not endorsing the guy, but it's a deep class, and Jason Light, when you have first-round picks, that's your career on the line. You got to hit these guys.
Lee, I want to make this point, too. And I think it's fair. If you're the Cowboys, and they did get Ezekiel Elliott, and he's exceptional. Lee, he's exceptional. There's no question about it. But my point is, if you have an offensive line like the Cowboys, you don't have to go out and get an exceptional. Darren McFadden had 1,000 yards for the Cowboys a couple years ago. You know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. The Buck line, to me, Steve, maybe I'm being a little cynical. I think it's okay. Okay. And so to that point, Lee, I think you need a back who makes the first guy miss a lot of times. And Doug Martin and Charles Sims, I'll say his name before you do, Lee, they didn't do that last year. They didn't do that.
No, they didn't.
Rodgers did a lot better job than those two. And so, Steve, my point is, with an average offensive line, maybe a little bit better than average, I don't think you can just say any back will do. I think you need a good running back. That's my point.
That's a fair point.
One of the X factors, nobody talks about it, Ira, as it gets closer to the draft and after I can talk to some knowledgeable people at the NFL owners meetings and get a little more perspective, is Jason Light came in here in 2014 and he didn't draft one defensive player. He came back in 2015 and only drafted one defensive player.
A heck of a defensive player.
In Quan Alexander. And last year they balanced it out a little bit, but not completely. So, and I say that the 2016 draft was a little more balanced. But there's still a lack of young defensive players on this team. And if Light's here for the long haul, you got to balance that out. Because a lot of fans would love to see the Bucs draft Dalvin Cook and draft a receiver and then draft another freaking receiver and weapons for Winston. But there's still something called defense. And if Light goes overly crazy on offense 3 out of 4 years, that creates an imbalance. And let's go to Chris Baker, the new defensive tackle. Definitely want Lee's opinion on this because I think it's an important topic. So Chris Baker is going to be 30 in October, defensive tackle. He signed. Is Chris Baker a bridge free agent at defensive tackle? Are the Bucs getting Baker and then they're going to draft, follow that Light model and draft a defensive tackle, which this team needs? Gerald McCoy's 29. Baker's going to be 30. Clinton McDonald's a fragile 31 years old.
The D-line is quite veteran.
It's quite veteran. So is he the bridge? Are we going D-tackle first round?
Well, I'll let Lee address it in a minute, but I will say this. You can't draft everybody in the first 3 rounds because we're talking about running back. Lee, we're talking about a young wide receiver because you're going to have DeSean Jackson for 2 years, and then you're back in the same quandary. There's another one for you, quandary. We're talking about safety. We're talking about a third cornerback. You can't do it all, Steve, but your point's well taken. For a team that is generally young, the defensive line is not.
No, it's not.
You know, you got Noah Spence. He's your youth. But, you know, Golston is in a second contract.
Fairly young.
We don't know about Jacquees Smith.
He's back.
But I'm saying we don't know about him. You know, Ayers is a veteran. Like you said, McCoy, McDonald, Lee, there's a need for youth up front, too.
Yeah. You know what? I'm starting to think, you know, and Steve and I, we talked about this on radio recently. We've written about this, I don't know how many times. Steve's a little more pessimistic than I am, but we're both in agreement. There's a short window here for the Bucs to make a Super Bowl run. Steve's thinking 2. I'm thinking 4 years. What Steve is referencing here about the front line, and you're referencing Ira, I don't disagree with that, but that's like a 3 and 4 year project down the road. Development guys. Cutter's not interested in 3 and 4 years from now. If he wins, gets to the playoffs, he might be here 3-4 years from now.
And what same about with Light. What about Light?
Same with Light. So, you know, that window, they got to make a run here pretty quick. And if they don't make that run, these guys probably won't be here. And so what Steve is saying is, you know, apropos, it's accurate, but they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. The Glazers have proven, and no one knows this better than Cutter and Light, they got an itchy trigger finger with coaches. So the future is now. Make that run. I'm not saying they'll get to the Super Bowl. Get to the playoffs. Make a run. If you got to start drafting defensive linemen down the road, so be it. Right now, your more important elements are wide receiver and running back.
Steve, that's a very interesting angle for Mr. DeKemper, because...
What do you got in your mouth there, Cal? Put your stuff in your face here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Steve, he is suggesting that the window is short from an executive point of view. Not necessarily personnel, because I don't think it's short from a personnel standpoint. You got a third-year quarterback who's only going to get better.
Yeah, and see,
that's a very interesting view over there, DeKemper, in terms of Cutter and Light have to think short-term for their own future.
Well, look, every NFL coach...
Yeah, who doesn't think
every
that
NFL
way?
Coach has to think short-term unless you're in Cleveland
or
you're,
New England.
You're Shanahan out with the 49ers, or you're drafting a rookie quarterback like Doug Peterson and the Eagles. The Bucs are a short-term... They're in a short-term situation. And the reason, I think the clarification with the four-year window, two-year window, it's not about just winning a Super Bowl, period. Jameis will be here a long time. He should give you a shot for years. But this team is constructed, as it is right now, for only 2 years to really get this done, because you can't count on Robert Ayers for more than 2 years. You can't count on Gerald McCoy for more than 2 years. What are we going to count
Grimes.
On? Grimes. We're going to count on McCoy to be a great player 11 years into the league? That's ludicrous. So the core players on defense are primed for the next 2 years. On offense, you're also looking at an eventual shakeup with having to pay Jameis $30 million a year and not being able to afford all your linemen and everything else. And DeSean Jackson. Hello, that's a 2-year signing right there. That's a 2-year guy that you can count on.
But Evans isn't going anywhere.
No,
Marpet's not going anywhere.
I'm just saying, as it's constructed now, you're looking at 2 years to go forward. So I agree. The executive mindset, it's a great point by Lee. The executive mindset, I believe, is all in now. We'll worry about the rest later, which would push you toward a Dalvin Cook or any of the premier running backs if they're sitting there,
or a stud wide receiver.
Or a stud wide receiver, which would be my preference.
So if the Bucs get to the playoffs, Cutter gets an extension, Light gets an extension. It's really that simple. Then they can start worrying about 3, 4, 5 years from now, defensive line. Right now, you know, that Cutter doesn't give a damn about 3 years from now.
Well, what is your plan at running back, Isbitz? Well, are you saying wait on a running back and take your chances? What are you saying?
All right, what I am saying is that Ed Morse is going to save you, Ira.
What a beautiful segue.
Well, outstanding.
Ed Morse is going to save you. Everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive and enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And, of course, see dealer for all the details. The CTS with approved credit, 2.0-liter turbo courtesy vehicle, 39 months plus tax, includes tag and title, zero security, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Here's the thing, Ira. I didn't want this to be a throwaway comment. I think it's important. Dirk Cutter has a choice. A-list receiver, Dirk Cutter, Jason Light in this draft. A-list receiver or A-list running back, I take the receiver. And I say that because teams win Super Bowls with receivers off the street. They get to finals of conference finals with receivers off the
street. Except the Bucs.
Excuse me, sorry, with running backs off the street.
Oh.
You can get a running back later and perform well. You don't just go get stud receivers every day. And
somebody's going to be cut in late August, right, Steve? Some running back's going to get cut. That the Bucs might have some interest in.
This is just me. I'm just throwing my one man's opinion. I draft the running back later. Have a little patience. Take a deep breath. Go get the guy a little bit later. and get a receiver or a stud D tackle early. That's just me.
If they do get a wide receiver in the first round, mm-hmm. if they do, Lee, mm-hmm. how much of an impact do you expect that rookie wide receiver to make in year one?
Not much.
Not much.
It's very similar to...
Barring an injury.
Barring an injury. And, you know, as we spoke before, DeSean Jackson, he misses some games. Not a lot, but he misses some games. I think Light's got a pattern. And last year was the pattern. Went out and signed Grimes, drafted Hargraves. Went out and signed Ayers, drafted Noah Spence. So here we go. They signed DeSean Jackson. He's going to have, that's his bridge player. He's going to go out and get a wide receiver, whatever round that may be, to slowly work in, you know, take his time, doesn't have to push him onto the field, and in two or three years, take over for Jackson.
I want to make one overall point about the running back situation, Steve. And I dare say that you two boys will agree with me on this. And
that's, him?
That is a leap.
Yes.
But I'll say this. One way or another, gentlemen, one way or another, they got to run the ball a hell of a lot better in 2017 than they did in 2016, or the signing of DeSean Jackson will be diminished in its impact. And by that I mean play action will not be effective as it was not for most of 2016. The balance that Dirk Koetter wants so badly, and that was such a big part of a record-breaking offense his first year as the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and they went down markedly last year in that regard, when supposedly, Steve, the shackles were off. If there were any shackles on Koetter's play calling, they were off last year, and yet the offense took a step back. They better run the ball, Steve, better, one way or another, a lot better than they did last year.
Well, I agree with you. Go ahead.
What you're saying makes sense until you look at December games. December games, with rotten running back attack, they won 9 games. With another wide receiver, they would have won 10 games, would have been in the playoffs, even with that rotten game. What you say makes sense, but they were on the cusp of the playoffs with a rotten running game. The year before, they had a strong running game. They won 6 games.
I understand that, but they couldn't maintain possession, Steve, like they did the year before. They couldn't keep the chains moving. Too many third and sevens, Steve.
It's so much fun to be able to just talk football. It's so much fun to be able to talk football.
This sort of chicken and egg thing.
But you do agree with my major point.
Well, I thoroughly agree with your major point. I think somebody could easily make the point that just the mere fact that Doug Martin won't be running the ball for this team the way he did last year is an upgrade in and of itself.
Sure.
So, and the Bucs have already made that statement. The O-line was okay. They brought everybody back, and guys who chairless retired. So, you know, they clearly are not blaming the O-line. Now, sure, they could twist that in the draft, but I want to go back to Lee. Well, because I know you believe in the bridge theory of Jason Light, the pattern. I don't know if I don't disagree or agree. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But if you believe that, then do you believe that they draft defensive tackle? Because Chris Baker was signed, 30-year-old guy. He's a bridge guy.
I believe they draft a defensive tackle. I don't know if it's going to be first couple days of the draft. But I believe they'll draft a defensive tackle because there's no depth there. McDowell's gone after this year. He can't stay on the field. I love the guy to death. He can't stay on the field. Akeem Spence, nice guy. He's gone. There's no depth there. So I agree. I think they will draft.
Hey, speaking of depth, and I don't think we've ever touched on this on a podcast. I'll throw it out there. What about tackle? What about offensive tackle? You've got Donovan Smith. You've got DeMar Dotson, who doesn't have a lot of years left in his contract or his
maybe
playing,
none.
Or maybe none. And a lot of unproven youth at the tackle position. Are you comfortable at tackle if Donovan Smith should go down? Steve, what do the Bucs do? What do they do?
Ira, look, man. Look.
this might be the same argument as Russell Shepard.
We want to run
come
around.
Come on, you're talking about a backup tackle.
Yeah, you're worried about backup tackles? They just drafted Benenock last year. He's a versatile guy. Pamphile might be the most versatile guy they got. He played a little tackle.
Sweetie.
If you're desperate for a backup tackle, a swing tackle, you can find somebody on the street in August who can you know, a backup.
And certainly we are not lamenting Gosder's departure.
They're not drafting a tackle in this draft. That's just not
I'd be very
not
surprised.
Happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. But, you know, obviously Jason Rotlight is the
king
of surprises.
I'm going to come back in 2 months and slap you around on that. I think they are drafting a tackle.
You think they're drafting a tackle
I didn't
in this
say
draft.
Day one, but I think they are drafting a tackle.
Well, when you go back to the running back situation, you're not going to like this. Lee's not going to like it either, but it still exists. We learned today when we record this that Latavius Murray signed for $5 million a year. So the running back market has come down. Your top running backs last year, Doug Martin and DeMarco Murray, they got big money. $7 million, $8 million. That was the going rate.
And this guy was a 1,000-yard runner.
Chris Ivory got big money in Jacksonville last year. Now Latavius Murray averaged 4 yards a carry over the last 2 years. A solid guy, between the tackles, runner.
You're not going where I think you're going.
1,000-yard guy. He got $5 million a year. Now, Adrian Peterson still sits on the street.
Here we go, Lee.
He still sits on the street right now. No job. Murray went to Minnesota. He can't even go back to Minnesota. If Adrian Peterson, let's fast forward to April 20th, okay? Adrian Peterson has no team. Teams have reported back. And
he's getting desperate.
And he's getting desperate and wants to play. If Adrian Peterson, somehow his contract demand comes down to $2.5 million with some incentives, do you bring in that guy?
Lee, you knew where he was going.
Yep,
Lee.
I knew it. As a dummy, here we go. And obviously, Steve's asking you, so I'm going to throw this out at you. I'll ask the same question, but this is what I heard from a prominent NFL executive at the Combine. It was part of the Patriots tree, of which Jason Light's a limb. Guy told me, he looked at me about Adrian Peterson. He said, when's the last time a 30-year-old running back did anything in this league?
Steve, I think you're paying too much attention to the salary aspect of Adrian Peterson. I don't think that's what's killing the interest in him as much as his tape's not very good recently. Mm-hmm. His age, Steve. Yeah, maybe if you can get him on a string, you bring him in. But I don't see it happening in Tampa, Lee. I just don't see it.
Ira, you don't think his salary demands are a big issue?
I don't think that's the biggest issue. I don't think executives are convinced that he can still play at a high level.
Yeah, especially with a team like the Bucs that have a salary cap. Well, here's one.
We have sources you don't have, his bits, and that's the impression I'm getting.
Here's something about the Adrian Peterson deal, Bucs fans. This is for Bucs fans. A lot of people hammer, rightly so, Doug Martin for being undurable, if that's a word.
That's not a word.
Okay.
Right. Brittle.
Okay, I won't go there, but I know what you're saying. He all misses right. games.
All right.
Adrian Peterson, last 3 years, 20 games played. Last 3 years.
Well, a suspension's part of that, right?
Well, yeah, but still.
But for whatever, yeah.
20 games, last 3 years. That's Doug Martin-esque.
Bottom
so
line,
why would you
Steve,
get another guy you
Steve,
can't?
It's not going to happen in Tampa. It's not going to happen.
All right, that's fine, Ira.
He's a name, and he's a Hall of Fame.
He's a name. I mean, if you're going to get names, what the hell? Go get Jim Brown. He's still breathing.
The guy led the NFL in rushing 2 seasons ago.
I understand.
So if we just wipe this, let's just wipe it out and go back to 2 seasons. Best runner in the league 2 years ago. Got hurt last year. He's not just some jabroni on the street here.
If the draft goes by and the Bucs don't draft a running back.
Oh, I would fall over backwards.
Yeah. You know, then he makes a lot more sense.
Since we're hung up on names, Barry Sanders is in shape.
Steve, well, I don't think you're wrong to throw it out there.
No,
but,
I'm just throwing it out there.
You've been firmly rebuffed by DeKemper.
That's fine. I'm just saying if he's on the cheap, it is about the money. Because there's a lot of teams out there who'd be happy to take a little flyer on Adrian Peterson for cheap. And you know what? Those teams exist in our division.
So he's going to have to swallow a lot of pride. That's what you're saying. Swallow your pride, Peterson. Yeah. You're worried about Carolina getting him, right?
He's already a little concerned. I still believe that that's where he probably ends up. I do believe that. Carolina's making some interesting moves with Julius Peppers. To bring him in for a spot.
Could he
pass
go to Oakland?
Role?
Could Peterson end up in Oakland now that Murray's
sure.
gone? I mean, he could.
Sure, he could. Yeah. I mean,
and that's a good offensive line.
Seattle seems like an interesting destination. I know they signed Eddie Lazy, as Lee likes
Eddie
to call
Lazy.
Him.
And they're bringing in Jamal Charles for a oil change.
But that was my point. Do we put it past them to sign Peterson as well?
No. You know,
I mean, they need a running game there. They don't have the offensive line, but that's right. that team ran behind its running game.
Boy, what a shame about Jamaal Charles. As a keen Chiefs observer, the kid was off to a fantastic career.
Yeah.
His career average is 5.5 yards. I mean, it's off the charts.
Yeah.
But he couldn't stay healthy.
Real quick, Eddie Lacy. I actually think it's impressive the dude packed on 30 pounds in a month and a half since his NFL season's
I'm
over with.
I'm surprised, Isbitz hasn't been pining for the Bucks to sign the guy. he wants everybody in a Buck uniform over here. But, Steve, as far as Peterson, I understand, you presenting that scenario. But DeKemper and I are not buying it. We're not buying it.
I'm not asking you to buy it. Not asking anybody to buy it. I'm just throwing it out there. If he were cheap, because remember, you guys just had the discussion that there's urgency at One Buck Place. Now, again, it is not my money. Okay, I have no access to Team Glazer money. But I do know
Unfortunately,
I surely wouldn't be here right now. So if you're telling me that there's mass urgency at One Buck Place, then, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to bring in a guy, and if he doesn't work out, you just cut him. Just cut him. We just paid J.R. Sweezy $9.5 million last year. We've already gifted him $5 million for this year. We don't even know if he can stretch.
You know who, if he was in Tampa, if this guy was still working for the Bucks, I would lay I got two $100 bills in my wallet. I would lay on this table and say, right now, Adrian Peterson's at One Buck Palace. Chucky.
Well said. Very well said.
Now, the most shocking moment of this podcast, and maybe of the whole year of podcasts that I've had the pleasure of doing with you two guys, is that the Kemper's got a couple $100 in his wallet. that is the stunner of all stunners. Because when the bill comes today and the waitress comes back, the Kemper's going to look at us saying, I got no cash, guys. Can you carry me?
Ira, you're ridiculous.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
All right.
Now, there you go.
Final shot.
He's proven.
I know you had a final thing you wanted to talk about.
Steve,
final
Steve,
shot here.
Just one more. Wrap up the running back.
Please do.
Isbitz is trying to force a veteran running back at One Buck Place, and Lee and I think are saying the history of the league shows that rookie running backs come in, and if you got the right guy, he makes a big impact
sure.
in year one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no great learning curve at the running back
Correct.
Position. They're gonna have a new. They're gonna have a new primary back. It's not going to be Doug Martin, and it's going to be a young running back, and he's going to get the bulk of the carries.
Ira, what do you make of all the – do you think it's empty words by Cutter? Because he's been extremely supportive of Doug Martin. What do you make of that, the Cutter's words in Indianapolis?
I think it's admirable that Cutter does that. I think it's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. Lee, because nothing has been firmed up publicly, although I think a decision basically has been made behind the walls at One Buck Place. Mm. And I think the other day when he was talking about the running back situation, I don't think Doug Martin was mentioned very prominently along those lines. I just got the feeling, Steve, you got a chance to move on from Doug Martin. I think you got to take it.
All right, well, before we wrap up, I want to clear up the fallacies that you're spreading, Ira. I'm not pushing for a veteran running back here. I'm just saying do all your due diligence on Peterson. I'm asking you for your sage wisdom on the guy. And as far I do believe the Bucks will draft a running back. 100% believe that. And
you mean in the first 2 days? In the first 2 days of the draft?
No, don't tell me what I mean. I think in the first four rounds, they'll draft a running back.
Right.
And you know what? There's a lot of history of running backs who do need a year or two to work in. Devontae Freeman is one of them. He did nothing exceptional at all his rookie year. Plenty of other guys didn't get a shot early to carry the load.
The kid in San Diego had a big year last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Your friend Charles Sims.
My friend Charles.
Yeah, Sims, who did nothing his rookie year.
Yeah, too. He was strong. Yeah.
Very well played, Lee. Very well played.
I still like Sims as a number two.
You can bring in a back and let him compete. And, again, they're in win-now mode. I don't think Dirk Cutter's the kind of guy who's going to hand some kid the rock first round, second round, third round. If he likes what Peyton Barber or Jaquizz Rodgers is doing, they need to win now. They can't play games.
Lee, Steve, Cutter's got proof of that. You talk about Devontae Freeman, who was his offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee, let's not give the offensive line a pass here in this running back discussion.
I am, because every NFL person I've talked to essentially said, when I asked them what's going on with the Bucs running game, they said, not the offensive line, which is what Steve and I have been writing for months.
Wow.
Now, I talked to Pat Kerwin. I haven't written this up yet. I talked to Pat Kerwin.
Our boy, Pat Kerwin.
Pat Kerwin at the Combine. Cutter said in our little private chat session, he went into great detail. I asked him a couple questions. He went into great detail about how if you're trying a different running back every other play and every other series and every other game, how that screws up all the timing of the blocking. And he referenced a cut-up. I can't remember what game it was. He referenced a cut-up inside zone blocking. He said the first 30 plays, they had six different running backs. And Cutter said, right there's your problem. I asked Kerwin that. Kerwin absolutely agreed. He goes, he's absolutely right.
You're right. Cutter made a big deal about the fact that they had two basic running backs in 2015. Mm-hmm. Last year was a free-for-all. That's a fair point.
And Kerwin said that really, when you have, he said, every running back, the linemen
rhythm.
Know their timing. They know what their moves are. They know the intricacies. It's very, very complicated. And he goes, and Kerwin and Cutter as well, we're both saying, you put a different guy in there every other play, that screws up all the timing of the blocking, the assignments, you name it.
Yeah, and to put a bow on it here for the sake of the draft, would anybody be shocked if the Bucs take Marlon Mack of USF in the third round?
No.
And say, you know what? The four of you guys, Cutter, you're the genius, Marlon Mack, Peyton Barber, Jaquizz Rodgers, Charles Sims, you guys slug it out in training camp. Let's see who emerges healthy and ready to go. I don't think that would shock any Bucs fan whatsoever.
And each guy's got a different strength and a different role.
Different skill set, but I don't think his first choice is to go running back by committee. So we'll see. This is going to be the great debate heading forward
here. The Peyton Barber issue, from what I gather, the thing that's keeping him off the field, you know, Cutter likes him a lot. And this goes back to Devontae Freeman reference that Steve had. This dovetails smoothly. His biggest issue is pass protection, which is a major issue. Devontae Freeman, his biggest issue as a rookie, pass protection, which unfortunately crept up in the Super Bowl horribly for the Falcons.
I got you.
So, you know, Cutter's talking him up a lot, and I've talked to other people at One Buck that love him. But from what I gather, the thing keeping him off the field is pass protection. And against the Chiefs, a playoff team, look what he did.
All that said, if they draft Dalvin Cook, this town will explode.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and we'll all be all in on Cook. It'll be fantastic. We'll come up with nicknames, and it'll be great.
And you know what? It's not beyond the realm that Cook's sitting there at 19.
Well,
it really isn't.
I'll bring up Kerwin again. A Bucs fan called Kerwin's radio show, NFL Radio, and asked him about it. And initially, Kerwin said, no way he's going to last till 13, or till 19. Then Kerwin got to thinking about it. He was thinking out loud. He goes, you know, he might just slip close to the Bucs. And if he slips close to the Bucs, Light's demonstrated that he's got the stones to go out and get the guy he wants.
Especially if Light's getting intel that the guy at 17 or 18 is going to take Cook.
I still think that defensive shot might be there in the first round just to balance it out. But, hey, we'll have some fun. We're going to keep rolling on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Two more podcasts coming later this week as this podcast is popping on Sunday. In the meantime, since
and we'll get back to our regular schedule, right?
Yeah, we'll be back on the regular schedule. And we'll also be back hopefully soon at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, where we believe our customers deserve more, like more selection, shop hundreds of brand-new Cadillacs, and more savings, like a new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get more. Click edmorescadillacbrandon.com. See dealer for all the details. And Lee, you had a final shot.
Well, actually, not a final shot, but this is interesting. Ira, you're entertaining people with your Bucks knowledge and wisdom while they're watching the March Madness on this beautiful Sunday, Florida afternoon.
Absolutely. I think they should take time out because, as you said, there's another kind of March Madness that's going on, and that's about all the interest in the Bucks. Steve, we would be remiss. We don't want to be remiss, but we would be remiss if we didn't tell our listeners and our readers, who we appreciate so much, that you and I will be double teaming out in Phoenix because the NFL owners' meetings are like a week away, Lee.
Oh, really?
And Steve and I are getting on a plane for Phoenix. Arizona Biltmore Resort.
We got two more podcasts.
I understand
that. Come on.
But I just want them to be reassured.
You're filling the fire of Bucks fans.
Reassured that you and I will be out there in force, and we may break a little news out in Phoenix.
Nobody will hit that 5-star breakfast buffet harder than Mr. Ira Kaufman.
You know, Lee, Cutter's going to be over there with alfalfa sprouts and some kind of whole grain cereal. And Isbitz and I, our plates are overflowing. The bacon's falling down off
biscuits
the plate.
Biscuits and gravy.
And Cutter's going to look at us and go, gentlemen, You deserve to be sports writers. You're not athletes.
Lastly, Ira, I do have a homework assignment for you.
Look at this.
More homework. In addition to all the great work you do, give us a column, Ira, this month, maybe early next month, on that tackle you're so sure the Bucks are going to be drafting. Please give us some names. Tell us what they need to do.
Look at Steve. He wants me out on that limb, baby. He does.
Jump off the fence, Ira. All right, thanks. Ira Kaufman Podcast in the books. Have a great week.